Amen. Amen. We're going to give him a couple days to get all his stuff together, and he'll be preaching very, very soon. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. God's good. John chapter 5, verse 1, John 5, 1. After this, there was a feast. How many people like to feast? Amen. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another one steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. You can be seated. It's so interesting that they put that in there. The same day was the Sabbath. As I get older, life changes. Things that mattered before don't matter now. And things that didn't matter, matter a whole lot now. I'm learning, and maybe some of you older folks can understand this, but I'm learning that the greatest days of the year is when I have all of my family at my house. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, it is such a blessing when they're all at the house. Amen. And that's why we like holidays so well. I've learned Memorial Day is not, and the 4th of July, and even Thanksgiving. It's really not about the dinner. It's about who's at the dinner. Amen. Is anybody with me on that? It's just such a good feeling to know that. And because the love that you have for your family and for your people. The Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, we must understand that there are several feasts that this could be, but most scholars believe that this was Passover. And Passover was a feast of the Jews where they came together to celebrate. They come to celebrate a certain event, and that certain event happened in Egypt. The children of Israel in bondage 400 plus years. They were in bondage, and being in bondage, it kept getting worse and worse. The slavery kept becoming more and more difficult. And there came a point when God raised up a man to bring them out. To those that don't know the story, Moses went down, and being raised in Egypt, he understood the customs. But 40 years, God put him back in the wilderness away from that society, and he called him with a burning bush experience. Tells him to go into Egypt, go in and tell Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn. Let my children go that they may serve me. Moses, he had some doubts. God, I can't do this. I'm not a man of eloquent speech. I thank God that God doesn't just call people that are eloquent. That was a jab at me, and y'all didn't laugh, but I'll laugh. You don't have to have it all together for God to use you. Moses goes in and stands before, at that time, the most powerful man in the world, and looks at Pharaoh and says, God said, Israel's his firstborn. Let his children go that they may serve him. Pharaoh, his heart was already hardened. God begins to work on Pharaoh, and things just get worse. To the point that God uses plague after plague after plague to show Pharaoh his power. But yet, Dustin, Pharaoh hardened his heart even more. The frogs, the lice, and the water turned to blood, and the list goes on until finally it's the end of it all. And he says, here's how this is going to work. He said, every firstborn in Egypt is going to die. And the only way to prevent this from happening is to take the blood of a lamb and apply it to the doorpost. And we understand that when the death angel came through, and if it saw the blood, the angel would pass by or pass over that house. Hence the name Passover. And they celebrated this every year. There was a feast that celebrated this because God didn't want them to forget where he brought them from. Amen. They remembered this because being in Egypt was a horrible, horrible time. But God made a way that he delivered them. But it's amazing how easy we forget where God brought us from. It's so easy to forget where we were compared to where we are. It's easy to forget because sometimes it just life has its toll. And we really do forget. And God wants us to remember where he brought us from. There's a story in Luke 2. You may know this story. It's pretty common. But Luke 2, 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. This is talking about the parents of Jesus. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. It's another time for Passover, another time to celebrate the bringing out of the people of God out of Egypt. And when they had fulfilled the days and they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. To some of you parents, I think it was the other day, maybe it was Natalie, came back in and said, I forgot Maggie. Was that right? And Robin said, thank God you're not the only one that forgets your kid. Don't feel bad. Mary lost the Savior of the world. Not saying that Maggie's any less valuable. I'm just saying, don't feel too bad because Mary messed up. They knew not. They supposed him to have been in the company. When a day's journey, Natalie got to the sidewalk and remembered, a day's journey Mary travels. A whole day, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understandings and answers. Look at the person beside you and say, he was 12. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. This statement is so powerful. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? This was not a mere contemplation of a young boy. No, sir. This was an authoritative declaration of the Son of God. He is defining his purpose, his mission, and his very essence of his existence when he said, I came to be about my father's business. He was reminding us that his life was and always will be centered around the will of his father. Can you say amen? He's letting us know that nothing will divert him from his mission, not even the closest of human relationships. Jesus said, he must be about, I must be about the Father's business. I wrote down some things for the word must because I knew I wouldn't remember, so I wrote these down. Listen to this. The word must carries with it urgency. The word must implies an unyielding compulsion. The word must signifies an undeniable pull towards. The word must is connected to sacrifice and devotion. He said, I must be about my Father's business. There was something pulling him to that place to be about his Father's business. What amazes me about this story is there's celebration on the outside. It's the feast of Passover. There's celebration. There's family. If you look this word up, it actually means a festival. There's a lot to celebrate from where. But Jesus, in the middle of all this, is at the temple in his Father's house, teaching, asking questions, answering questions, and beginning to pour out the word of God. At 12 years old, he was drawn away from the feast to the word of God, away from the celebration to the word of God, away from even his mother and father to the word of God, away from his brother and sister to the word of God. He was drawn to expounding and sharing the word of God. Amen. We've got to get to this place where we can walk in this realm when no matter what's going on around us, we're drawn away from whatever it is around us to the place where we can spread the word of an almighty God, because it's the word of God that delivers. It's the word of God that sets free. It's the word of God. Something about the word of God will make a blind man see. Something about the word of God will make a deaf man hear. Something about the word of God will make a drunk man sober. Something about the word of God will take a man who is lost and pick him up. There's just something about that word. Friendship only takes people so far. Our kindness will only get them so far. One of the biggest social media arguments I ever got in was when somebody said, we need to be the light to people because some people are not willing to go to church and listen to a sermon and convert to God through his word. We must let our life be the object that saves them. The wording was completely wrong. I said, unless a person is willing to hear the word of God and accept the word of God, your life does nothing for them. My life can point the way, but it's his life that saves them. Well, they're not willing. They're not willing. If they're not willing, then they're going to be lost. So I've got to put, yeah, I need to shine my light. Yes, I need to be kind. Yes, I need to preach the word. Yes, I need to put those things out there, Doug, that will draw them. But it's up to them accepting him for them to be saved. And I'm glad that I know the word because I can tell somebody the truth. We've made this very clear. Let's make it even clearer. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. Then there's only one way you get to the Father, and that's when you're drawn. When you're drawn by the Spirit. So Jesus is 12 years old. He's preaching in the temple. Now we find him in our story as a grown man. He comes back. At the time of the feast, he's back. And all the celebration is going on of how they brought it. And Jesus is down at the pool of Bethesda. This is, most scholars believe, the same feast. Mark Lowry said, we don't hear anything about Jesus from 12 years old until 30. He said, because he was grounded. But here he is as a grown man. It's time for the feast again. At 12, he's in the temple at the feast. This time, he's down there with impotent folk. He's down there with the blind. Y'all got to hear this. Y'all got to hear that. See, you don't have to be able to talk good. Jesus
is down there at the pool where the broken down are when it's time to be celebrating them being brought out of Egypt. Their law that they received said, you can't walk but so many steps on the Sabbath. You can't do this on the Sabbath. You can't do that on the Sabbath. Jesus is down there at the pool on the Sabbath in the middle of the feast. Are y'all seeing this? Jesus was a little bit rebellious in this aspect. He started at 12. 12, 12. He started at 12. Why have you dealt this way? Because I'm about my Father's business. God was getting ready to do something they had never seen before. Jesus was on track. Because, I'll tell you why, he was God manifested in flesh. There's something working in him that they didn't understand was working. And he is back down there at the pool during the feast. He should have been up there taking his unleavened bread and going through all of this stuff. But no, where do we find Jesus? Down there with the broken. And to beat it all, it's on the Sabbath. The Bible put that in there so that we would understand something. We must understand this concept that the will of God must be our rest. The will of God must be our feast. Let me try it over here. Walking in the will of God must be the thing that satisfies us more than anything this world has to offer. It must be. Because that's what Jesus is showing us. He's still doing the will of the Father. He's still doing what God had called him, what the Father had planned for him to do. He is still subjecting himself to the will of God. See, sometimes we fight the will and we give into it reluctantly. We got to get to the place where the will becomes our rest, where the will of God becomes the place where we are the most comfortable. We got to find a way to get to this place where when I'm in the will of God, there is nothing like this in my whole life. But walking in the will of God, there is nothing out there that compares to me walking in the will of God. Not your religion, not your creed, not your philosophy, but the will of God. And they said, oh yeah, by the way, this was on the Sabbath. Not only, Dustin, was it during the feast, it's on the Sabbath. Can you imagine, Mary? It's Passover. Where's Jesus at? Remember when he was 12, what happened? Where's he at now? He's down there with the broken. Man, there's something about broken people that just draws Jesus to them. And I'm glad because I've been broken. And I'm so glad that he didn't move away from me. Oh, you was looking for perfection. He came looking for something that was lost. He wasn't looking for me to have it all together. He was looking for me so that he could bring me out of that place where I was in despair and I was lost. Oh, go ahead, you can clap for him because he brought you out of the same place he brought me out. The Bible says it like this. He brought me up out of a pit wherein was no water. I want you to know he set my foot on a rock and he established my going, but he found me when I was broken. I was broken. It's feast time, Jesus. Sorry, I'm down here by the pool. His purpose was to do the will of God. We find him. We find him at a place where he's tired and he's hungry. And he sits down. And the disciples go to buy food so that they could eat. After some time, they make their way back to Jesus. And when they get back to him, give me my next verse, Shane. I think it's John 4:31. Is that where? The Bible says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. How many people are hungry?
Go back to that verse, Jane, if you would. How many people are hungry right now? How many people at 1 o'clock you're going to go eat somewhere? Raise your hand if you're going to go eat after church. Shane, give me my picture. How many people are hungry now? Did that change you any at all? People say, I don't like meat. I don't like meat. Do we have any vegetarians in here? Is there any vegetarians in here? Vegetarian? Vegan? Everybody in here is a meat eater? I got to shut up. I'm thinking all kinds of stuff. And I got to shut up. Probably apologizing. He says, they said, eat. Eat. It was the Feast of Passover. He's in the temple. The Feast of Passover. He's down at the pool. He's sitting by the well. And he has this discourse. And they come back and they say, eat. And Jesus makes a statement. He says, go ahead and go back, Shane, before they walk out. He said unto them, listen to this. I have meat to eat that you know not of. What's up, brother? You got a bologna sandwich in your pocket or what? You been holding out on us, bro? What you got over there? What you got in your pocket, man? He said, no. Listen to this. Man, this is so good. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Go ahead, Shane. Therefore said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? He didn't have it in his pocket. Somebody snuck it in here. We went to get him something to eat. He's holding out on us. Next verse. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He said, I've got meat that y'all don't know about. I want you to picture, everybody close your eyes right now. Close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to think about the best steak you've ever ate in your life. Chicken? Do you like chicken? Ribs? Do you remember where it was? Do you remember how it was cooked? Brandon's up here worshiping right now. He's just having him a time. Okay, you can open your eyes. Do you remember how satisfying it was? Man, I ate at a Ruth Chris one time. Anybody ever ate at Ruth Chris? They win like Steak of the Year in America year after year after year. I didn't buy it, thank God. Some guy that played for the Braves bought our food, and we went to eat with him. And it was between $500 and $600 for three of us to eat. I was like, this is kind of sinful. Wasn't my sinning. He bought it. Until they brought the steak. And I was like, this ain't sinful at all. This is glorious. Man, when you're really hungry and that meat satisfies, this is where he found that satisfaction. He compared it to that. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus, it's time to celebrate. Now, I thought he was being a little disrespectful about Passover because it was commanded by God that they would partake in Passover to remember that he brought them out of Egypt. But then I realized he was being a little disrespectful on the Sabbath
by going out and healing people because God told him not to do that on the Sabbath. Maybe he was being a little disrespectful. But what Jesus understood was he was getting ready to lead him out of something greater than Egypt. He was getting ready to become something more restful than their Sabbath. And he was going to show them this. If you really want to find rest, get in my will. If you really want to find a place of rest and a place of festivity and a feast, you get in my will. Because if you're in my will, there's nothing that can satisfy you like the will of God. Yes, I know I've tried them both. I've tried to walk outside the will of God. You know, it's really miserable. It's when you're trying to do both. Am I talking to anybody? Come on, Aaron. Hurry before they go to sleep. Download them. They're going to sleep. Thomas, I've been on both sides. And I know that nothing on that side satisfies like this side. The world had festivities. They had celebrations. Lily, I never felt comfortable in sin. I never felt comfortable in that place. Because when I was in that place of sin, it didn't bring any satisfaction, but it brought me to this place where I can't be comfortable here. Do I got a witness? I remember the first time that I ever heard AC/DC sing a song. Maybe I was sheltered. I don't know. But I walked into this party and they're singing. And the first thing that came to my mind was, we're all going to that hell that they're singing about. You and you and you and me too. We're all going. All of us. That was my thought. I learned they were right. There is a highway, a broad way that leads to destruction. But I got off that way and found another way. And when I found that, Thomas, there's nothing like being in the will of God. Nothing. I don't care what they're doing out there. Jesus, they were celebrating the fact that you brought them out of Egypt. I'm going to do much more than bring them out of Egypt. Because when I brought them out of Egypt, I brought them out in the flesh. I'm getting ready to do something in the spirit. And where they don't, once I bring them out this time, they don't, they can bring somebody else out. No, I got to make this clear. When he brought you out, he brought you out so that you could bring somebody else out. When Moses led them out of Egypt, there was only one Moses. You know what I got to say? When they came out of the upper room, there was 120 that came out of there with the same exact power, and they began to walk in the will of God. Are you ready to move into God's will? Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. If you're out of God's will, you can change that today. He said, I got meat, man, that y'all don't know about. I got something that y'all don't know about. Did somebody buy you food? It ain't about that. He said, my nourishment comes from doing the will of the Father. If you're not in the will of God, you can change that today. You say, well, preacher, I think I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. You need to step out and pray.
I know you can pray right where you're at. I know that. I know that. But there's just something about stepping out. If sin is separating you from your Creator, you can take care of that today. If what the world has to offer is separating you from the will of the Father, you can take care of that today. Because in the will of God, there's nourishment that this world knows nothing about. In the will of God, in His presence, is fullness of joy. How many Christians in here can say you've never had the joy in this world that you have in the will of God? Would you slip your hand up as a testimony? Let's stand, let's stand, let's stand. In the feast, He was in the temple. At the feast, He was with the broken. On the day of rest, He was working the will of the Father. Dustin had a greater revelation of what this was all about. I don't care if you rest every Sabbath. I don't care if you rest every seventh day. I don't care if you do that. You don't have Jesus, there is no rest. Without Jesus, there is no comfort. Without Jesus, there is no peace. If God's dealing with your heart, I don't care who you are, would you step out? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Would you step out? Would you step out and say, you know what? I want that to be my life, to submit to the will of the Father. I want to find my rest there. I want to find my comfort there. I want to find my peace. I feel Him calling me to that place. Am I talking to anybody in this room today? If I am, if somebody's in your way, just move them out of your way and say, that's me, that's me, that's me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray today. I'm not putting it off. I'm not waiting till tomorrow. I'm not waiting till next week. I'm not waiting till I get it all together and make everything right. I'm not waiting till I get good enough and clean enough and right enough. I'm going right now. I'm going right now to that place, so that I can walk in the will of God.